My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney. He represents the Palmetto State's 5th Congressional District and is a member of both the House Budget and Small Business Committees. We want to get his thoughts today as the buildup begins to the next showdown over the debt ceiling based on comments made by House Speaker John Boehner and others, and also what he's seeing along the campaign trail and what he thinks the focal point of the Republican candidates, including Mitt Romney, ought to be heading into November. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Greg, thanks for having me.
Well, we had strong comments from House Speaker John Boehner this week saying that there would be absolutely no hike in the debt ceiling without offsetting spending cuts in other places. You've been with us on previous occasions, very critical of Speaker Boehner for what you see as essentially folding in the clutch during a number of different debates, from the continuing resolution of last year to last summer's debt ceiling fight. Are you seeing anything different this year?
I hope so. The language is a little firmer this time around. Of course, you know, talk is cheap here, and you look to people's actions more than their words. But the real concern that I've got as we start this debate is about those cuts. You know, the speaker laid out a fairly straightforward proposal, which is that for every dollar of debt increase, we have to have a dollar of spending reductions. But of course, as you drill down into the details of what we got passed last August, what you learned is that we raised the debt ceiling immediately by $900 billion. And when we cut spending by $900 billion to match that, we actually did that over 10 years. And in fact, most of those savings, those reductions in spending, came 8, 9, and 10 years out in the future. So it's sort of an unequal trade. I'll trade you a dollar of debt ceiling increase now for a dollar of spending reduction a decade from now, and I'll leave it to you and your listeners as to whether you think those cuts will actually take place. So the one thing I heard out of Speaker Boehner that I was most encouraged by is that he said no more tricks and gimmicks. I could not agree more wholeheartedly. I think one place where conservatives especially have lost the support of the folks back home is they're convinced that we are engaging in tricks and gimmickry just as bad as the folks on the other side of the aisle are. And I think we'd take an opportunity here to make sure that people know that that's not the case.
I know last year, Congressman, we had kind of a sliding deadline for when this had to be done by. What are we looking at this year?
Oh, make no mistake about it. Tim Geithner will make that decision, which means Barack Obama will make that decision. It is the Secretary of Treasury's job to tell us when they're going to run out of money. And if the president thinks it's politically desirable for him to have this vote before November, we will have it before November. If you think it's politically desirable for us to wait till after the election, we will wait till after the election. That's one of the bizarre things about this, is that you know the Secretary of the Treasury will have almost complete control over when we take this issue up.
We're talking with South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney, member of the House Budget Committee. And Congressman, as a lot of our listeners know, you were an enthusiastic supporter of Texas Governor Rick Perry during the primary season. Now it's pretty clear that Mitt Romney will be the nominee. What do you want to hear most from him to convince you that he understands where fiscal conservatives like you are coming from?
I'm going to give a little different answer to that, because I know that most folks are going to say they want to talk about jobs and the economy on one hand, and maybe you know, the talking point, I guess, on the other side is the failed Obama policies. But I look at it from a slightly different perspective. I think people are looking for competency. They know, they have a sense now, even if they don't understand the details of it, they know that the country is in trouble. The country has problems. They know the debt is bad because they can equate it to their own personal situation. They know that deficits are bad because they can equate it to their own personal situation. But they're not sure exactly what it is and how bad it is, but they know the problems are serious. And they are looking, I think, or somebody who's smart enough to solve the problems. And I think that as long as Mitt Romney can come across as competent and trustworthy on these difficult issues, he'll do extraordinarily well. I think that he's the right person at the right time to deal with this type of situation. You know, he's lampooned on TV for being boring. Listen, I want boring. I want some boring green eyeshade guy to come in and get down to the nitty-gritty of fixing this thing. I don't need another rock star, movie star, you know, celebrity president. I want somebody who can actually do the work, and I think Mitt Romney is that person.
Congressman, as you know, there were recently elections in Europe in a number of countries, some regional elections in Germany, important elections in Greece, as well as national elections in France, and none of those seem to go the way of those who favor the approach of austerity, particularly in Europe, and even those who would advocate such an approach here at home in the United States. One of the reactions to that, more from the left, and probably more overseas than here, seems to be that, well, we tried austerity and it failed and the people don't want it. What lessons do you take from that, and should we apply much of what we see in Europe to our own situation?
But listen, the one thing you look at Europe is that it makes you wonder, these last couple of rounds of elections, if they've really gone so far over into that entitlement mentality, if it's become so ingrained in their culture that they're incapable of doing anything else. I mean, really, look, what happened in France was essentially vote for me and I won't make us pay back the debt. vote for me in Greece and I won't make us pay back the debt. And those folks won. And you've got to wonder if that entitlement mentality has been so much a part of the European culture now for two and three and four generations that they're simply incapable of looking at the world another way. And I think they're about to find out that there is a real world out there. In the real world, you have to pay for the things that you want. I'm very concerned about the situation in Greece. They're about to get a very expensive lesson in economics. The question is, for us, are we going to look at that lesson and learn from it? Or are we going to take the same sort of attitude that we can continue to do what we do with no consequences in the real world? No, I think that the message that the Republicans, Paul Ryan, myself, are pushing is the right one, which is, hey, you have to pay for what you got. And I still believe that as much as entitlements have become part of our society here in America, that it's still a very thin veneer of that entitlement mentality. And deep down, we're still Americans. We still believe that we're responsible for our own actions. We still want to take responsibility for our own actions. We still want to live within our means. That American culture is still very much alive. And I've got confidence that ultimately it will break through that veneer of entitlement.
Much of what you just said, perhaps in slightly different terminology, has been common themes on the campaign trail for Mitt Romney. I know a concern for many on the right, yourself included, is that oftentimes that message, which appears to be a pretty successful message a lot of times for Republicans, seems to get derailed by other issues, whether it's the battle over contraception, whether that should be fully covered with no copay. Some would say that recent debate over the definition of marriage falls into this category, where many other things are kind of pushing what most people assume is the biggest issue off the front page. And they fear that the longer it's off there, the worse it is for Governor Romney. How concerned are you about that?
I'm not. I saw him do something the other day that was very disciplined, keeping in mind that politics is a business in and of itself. It's not like real-world business, but it is a business. You can study it. You can learn from it. You can do it properly, campaigning especially. And Romney got a question about legalization of marijuana, I think, was the question. And he just looked at the reporter and said, look, I know that's important to you, and I'm sure it's important to a lot of people, but in the greater scheme of things, it's really not the most important thing right now. It's jobs, the economy, it's gas prices, and that's where I'm spending all of my attention. So I don't mean to diminish the importance of that particular issue, but I'm going to continue to talk about what I think is most important to everybody in the country, not just little subgroups. And I thought that was a very disciplined, reasonable, competent answer to that question. If he can continue to do that, I think he'll continue to do well.
Last question for you, Congressman. The job creation effort, most people conclude that if it's going to happen in a robust way, a lot of it has to happen in the private sector. You're not only on the Small Business Committee, but you're a longtime small business owner. What are the keys to getting that going?
There's about six of them. I take one. Banks have got to start lending again. When I was in the franchise business, we had a tremendous year in 2009 as folks got laid off from their jobs, maybe took a severance package. They wanted to go into the business for themselves, take advantage or take charge of their own destiny, and they bought a lot of our franchises. Couldn't open them because very few of them could get bank financing, and that situation has not gotten very much better in the last 3 years. Banks are still afraid to lend because of what the government's doing to them, and as a result, capital is not available to those who want to go out and start especially small businesses. So, again, there's a list of five or six things that we could do. You could talk about tax policy, you could talk about environmental policy, regulatory environment overall, but focus on one for this discussion. It would be access to capital. Allow the banks to do what they want to do, which is lend folks money, and I think we'd see a turnaround in that area fairly quickly.
Congressman, we'll be watching. Thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. South Carolina Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney, member of the House Budget and Small Business Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.